Blog Talk Radio.
So we have a new doo-wop intro, just checking it out for today. Did you hear that, Jack?
I sure did. Doo-wop, wow, we're really scratching the bucket there, aren't we?
Well,
it was nice, though.
Yeah, basically it's three chords, 12 bars blues, and that's what... With me playing guitar out here in Columbus and the jams and stuff,
went
and kind of put that together, kind of for me, I guess.
The nice thing about it, though, it was pushing forward.
That's right, exactly right. It was gritty, mean, and meant it.
Yeah.
We'll find one sooner or later. I still like the little horn, but you know.
I'm going to say, I got one for you. I'll email it to you, Gwen. The name of the song is called Going Down. And the artist is Government Mule with John Bonamassa.
Okay.
Right, well, I'll send that one.
That sounds good to me. I'm wondering if you've all have been keeping up with the information today about all of the earthquakes that have happened and what's going on in Nepal.
Absolutely. What a travesty.
Those poor people.
Yeah. Yeah, the building codes, there's no earthquake preventive buildings there. So any earthquake is just a total devastation to any above ground structure.
And it's so small and landlocked, it's hard for anybody to get in there and help them. And they're poor and, oh, my Lord, what a horrible situation.
Yeah.
The really bad thing here is there's almost 1 million children in need right now from this. And I'd like to, just for one moment, I'd like to give a shout out to the agency on the ground there where people can go and make donations to. I've already done it. It's called it's Crow Drives
agency.
Yes, sir. Yes, the agency. I'm doing 60 things at once here.
Yeah, spell it, Gwen. Spell it out for people.
CRODRISE.com. And you can give to the actual group that's down there, the Nepal Earthquake Relief Fund from the Shayska Foundation in Nepal. And even if you can just give $5, it all goes to bear and it will help. This is one of the agencies that is taking the money right to the ground effort there. I used to always... Red Cross, but I don't do that anymore because the Red Cross has even got a lot of pilfer going on.
Yeah, they do a lot of skimming off, but. Well, Gwen, speaking of earthquakes and kind of the current event in our own country here, Oklahoma has now surpassed California in earthquake faults, and even the oil industry is saying, yeah, our fracking's kind of causing this.
What greed will do to you, and that's what hunger for oil will do to you. Anything goes. Drill, baby, drill yourself right into destruction.
Yeah. Well, the thing that comes to my mind is, go ahead, Gwen.
In the last 48 hours, there have been earthquakes, major earthquakes, at different points all across the planet. I'll post that video on your page, Wayne. You can see.
All right, please do.
Basically, two, including one that was, I believe, 5.9 or 6 in outside of Eureka, California, on the fault line. And
wow.
There's There's over 7 major volcanoes erupting right now, too.
Well, they know that that whole Yellowstone Park area, the amount of magma that's down in that cauldron could fill up the Grand Canyon, like, what, I don't know, 9 times over, some outrageous number times over. And they said, if it ever blew, you know,
Coming from my perspective, gentlemen, I just want to put the message out today that please go on over to ProDies.com, people. If you can afford even $5, it goes right to the on-ground effort. There's a million children in Nepal that are without homes, water, and food right now. So it's quite urgent.
$5 goes a very long way in Nepal.
Well,
it buys a lot more than we can buy here with $5.
Yeah, well, it's buying aid from the United States and having it sent over, too. So,
right,
We're one of the first mobile places that they turn to get any food. So, whatever you can do, please do, because the need in Nepal is completely urgent at this time. Just want to make that clear to folks if they're not realizing it. And the fact that it's going on all over the place, which brings us to the point that as the earth mother shakes, so do the people and the animals and everything else on top. And this weekend has been a shaker. I guess that everybody is aware of what's going on in Baltimore.
Yes, well, being Maryland's my home state, and grew up in the suburbs of Baltimore, Glen Burnie area, Severna Park, all that area.
Right.
And I know, and I knew a couple of Masonic brothers who were Baltimore police officers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to paint the broad brush that said that, you know, that all Baltimore police officers are bad, but I'll say that those that grabbed that man and stomped his neck till he broke.
That was so horrible. Horrible.
That cross.
Well, you know, just another of a long line of recurring examples of this happening. You know, just you don't need a black fellow's name anymore. It's just almost random. Happening so often and in so many areas. You know, we've got to get a grip on it here. It's just really getting way out of line.
Well, Jack, let me interject here real quick. The lawyer for the family of the victim, basically the police said that, well, they arrested him because when he saw the police officers, he ran. And the lawyer pointed out there is no statute on the books at all that it's against the law for a black man to run. As a matter of fact, his problem wasn't that he ran away from the police. He didn't run fast enough was his problem because they caught him and stomped him to death.
Yep.
And unfortunately,
young guy.
Yeah, he was like 25 or something like that.
25, that's what it was. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, and like I said, and I am a son of Baltimore.
There was a police commissioner from New York was on CNN the other night, and you talk about tuned out and out of touch. This fellow was talking about nothing but how it's all, you know, everything he said was all school. Nothing had anything to do with how profiling goes on. There was no elasticity. And I'll get my...
You guys, it's even got the dog barking.
I was going to say, Glenn, your Wookiee's out.
Thing, but even the dog objects. I don't blame her.
Star Wars, right? That's your Wookiee.
Yeah. Well, it's happening too frequently. And, you know...
Exactly.
Thank God at least the media is starting to report it. Because for so long they just ignored it. Or, you know, it had nothing to do with it because it involved minorities, in particular blacks. And, you know, it's in that community, that's the reason that there's so much distrust for the police. I mean, they view them as people out on a hunt to kill them, you know?
Right. Well, and as we've said, as the military equipment that comes back to all of our foreign wars, this country, they donate it to the police force. Henceforth, it's making our police force a paramilitary force and the an occupying force within our cities.
Yeah,
this
and,
is the wrong mindset that we need for our police officers. And like I said,
disproportionately using that military gear on the black community and minority community. It's terrible, man. It's got to stop. We got to stop this genocide is what it is. It's terrible.
Right.
I'm not being hyperbolic, and I'm not blaming the police, all police, because there are a lot of very good police, and a lot of them are fearful of their lives and situations.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to paint with a broad brush. There are plenty very good police officers doing their job honorably. Like I said, my mother's cousin, who she was really raised with, more like a brother and sister, was chief of police in Daytona, Florida there. But unfortunately, it only takes, the few bad seeds to propagate the image.
And
unfortunately, all of them
Tom Hartman raised a very good point. He says, think about it, it makes a lot of sense. We should make sure in the future, starting immediately, we should implement this nationwide, state by state, city by city, whatever, throughout the whole country. Police officers should be required to be a police officer. You should be required to have a college diploma, and we should start paying them more. We'll attract better police officers that way, and we'll have a better caliber, and we won't have guys out there pot shooting at every black guy they see.
Need to go through a psychological profile. Go ahead, Glenn.
You know, what would go a long way to ensuring some protection for the public through the police, by police, would be in putting a camera on every cop walking, and even the guy sitting in the police station down in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and severe penalties for it not being on.
I think that's a must.
At the root of it all, Gwen, the root of it all, a very close situation or a very relevant situation, we have got to get rid of this overwhelming amount of guns that everybody has. They're easy to get a hold of. Anybody can get them. And there's enough to make anybody trigger happy with so many damn guns around. It's just insane. And they're trying to force more on us all the time, the NRA. This is not right. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
And again, that's money talks that show up. You're talking about the NRA. You're talking about them paying for the convenience of making more money. It's their lobbyists. They're incredibly rich.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I've told some of those back home, there's pro-guns. And, look, you can be pro-gun and everything, I said, but, right now you cannot find 22 caliber bullets in Walmart because people are going in, buying and hoarding them because they have whipped up the fear, Obama's going to take your guns. You better get your gun now, right? You better blow it up on ammunition because Obama and these Democrats are going to take your guns.
Haven't we really turned into a nation full of fear? Isn't it irrational how fearful we are?
It was the best marketing plan I'd ever seen.
Gentlemen, the volume
of guns sold and bullets and stuff has been astronomical because they marketed it as forbidden fruit.
Right, yes. I know.
Yes.
Please don't squeeze the sermon. They're going to take your bullets.
But gentlemen, that's not talking about really we've veered off the focus of black, young, African-American men and women both being absolutely gunned down by police constantly right now.
Right.
And there is a white supremacy that's out there. There's a gentleman, his name is Victor White. He put up a video. He's a southern man from Tennessee who has some acting skills, but he just put a bland video out and spoke about how he was raised a white supremacist and how almost every white person in America does not realize that they enjoy a white supremacy without even knowing it. And that's something we have to deal with. It's true.
Well, you know what? There is such a thing as white privilege, and we're seeing it all the time. We're blind to it because we just take it for granted. We don't have to look over our shoulder walking down the street and wonder if somebody's going to shoot us. A lot of black people do, especially youth.
Yes, absolutely. The profiling that they undergo just walking out of a train platform to go walk down the street home in an urban area is incredible. It's very incredible. I mean, can you imagine growing up that way? Well, really, I didn't have to. Why? Understanding that this is something that not just the black community has to deal with, but that all of us have to deal with is really important.
Nowadays, that's for sure. But especially minorities. If there are a bunch of minorities driving around in an older car, if there's anything the least little bit wrong with that car, you can expect to be pulled over, you can expect to be questioned, you might even expect to be jailed and or shot. It's just gotten way out of line.
Well, not just old cars, but if you have a brand new Mercedes-Benz and you're driving
anything.
You can get yourself profiled and pulled over. Look, Chris Rock posted videos of himself being pulled over by the cops because he was driving his van. It's just out there, and
way too much profiling.
Yeah, well, this is our opportunity for society to wake up and smell the bullshit laying on the street.
I mean, how we keep reading about and hearing about, and it's right in our face all the time. Every so often, constantly, it's a new murder. It's not a mass murder. It's somebody gunning down a black on the street or something. No wonder there's such distrust of the police and everything else. And it's just we're so inundated with guns. It's just not right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But there's this whole community of people who are so under aware in the white world here.
Right, because it's not happening to them.
If we elected a black president, how can you say that we don't have an integrated society? And
oh, how naive is that?
It is, but people actually...
And look at what they're doing. Look at what they're doing with that black president. They're not giving them the time of day in Congress.
Well, no, but he's all right. He's going to be fine.
That's my point, though, Gwen. They aren't giving him. They delayed his black attorney general appointment for months. I mean, that's unprecedented. That's never happened before, and I hope it never ever happens again. It was just ridiculous.
Well, let me interject here because they just had it on TV here. They talked about the three that were shot down in Mississippi of the Freedom Summer.
Two white kids. Yep.
They were stopped because the cops said they were speeding. Didn't just write them a ticket. No, he had to take them down to the police station and a bunch of background checks on stuff. Meanwhile, they're making phone calls to the local Klan that said, okay, look, they're going to be heading out of town using this road. That's where you'll pick them up.
Exactly, yeah.
And they were all shot in the back of the head, executed. And buried, buried.
Yeah, that was very tragic. I remember the pictures of those individuals too. What a terrible thing! And you know, we like to think that we're past that now, but maybe we're not.
No, it was a deputy sheriff that did the pulling them over once again. They obeyed the law. They saw his lights. The only thing is, they didn't know that when they were being pulled off, then they were being pulled off by the Klan because the deputy sheriff belonged to the Klan.
Sure.
And then they went and executed them.
Yeah, Wayne.
And what was their crime for trying to get votes? I'm sorry, Glenn, what was that?
Wayne, those are the same kind of crackers that took what's his name in after he shot Trayvon Martin and let him sit there.
Zimmerman, right. And that was I want to come around. We were talking about the requirements for a police officer because, you need a psychological profile done on a potential candidate to become a police officer. Zimmerman failed it twice. They would not let him be a state trooper nor a town cop because they said, no, this guy's nuts. But yet he was still able to get a gun, make himself the self-appointed Wyatt Earp of the little community he was in,
Right.
And then when he shot the black kid walking home from the 7-Eleven, or convenience store, I should say.
Yeah,
right.
Skittles in his hand.
And all he had to
sake.
Do was, I was standing my ground. So
well,
you hunted that man down and killed him.
I hate that law. I just despise that law.
But Sanford, Florida is Grand Dragon Retirement Community Territory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This whole town is overseen, no matter the integration of different culture. It's still overseen by a good old fracker community there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the problem, too. People, you know, elect, you know, the majority. So there's a majority of white people there, I'm thinking.
Right.
So, and Gwen, we have them there on the eastern shore of Maryland, on the Delmarva Peninsula, and I'm not going to make the generalized statement that all of them are this, but I can tell you those that were still the descendants and those that still have the same southern tradition, I'm doing that in quotation marks, viewpoints,
yeah.
are the Tea Party members and the uber-conservative claiming Republican Tea Party
mm-hmm.
membership.
Yeah,
that's what you got. You have nothing more than the old Klansmen on my and around my home there on the peninsula. We're nothing more than the leftovers of the old Klansmen.
Well, did you hear about the newly elected mayor who got locked out of City Hall and
maybe you didn't contact
Geiger, excuse me, guys, in struggling St. Louis County town? She's
no, I didn't hear that. Why did he get locked out?
Well, first of all, the mayor that's been there has been incumbent for over 4 years. He got elected out, and people elected this, and she's an African-American woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's just minutes from Ferguson.
Okay. That's now we're explaining volumes.
Yeah, it's Clint Upton.
You're right.
And it's less than a population of 300 people, okay? They elected mayor, Betty McRae. She's 64, and she's 7-year veteran of the Board of Aldermen. She won with 76% of the vote. That is 63 votes, okay? And on Thursday, after she was sworn in by St. Louis County officials in Clayton, McRae showed up at Clinton's combination City Hall and Police Department in its former elementary school with a boarded up windows and an overgrown playground. And
mm-hmm.
she was denied entry and handed impeachment papers by the city attorney, James Richardson. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch has a video of how it happened.
And on what grounds was she handed impeachment papers after just getting newly elected overwhelmingly? What is this crap? What insanity.
Well, and McRae has told the media that has paid attention to her so far. That you have to remember. I'm getting this off of Huffington Post. McRae told the Huffington Post that Clinton officials have just continued business as usual since the election. They don't want to leave because they know I will find out everything that's been going on. Now, this is a completely corrupt little town, and the moment that she walks in there, and it's probably going to take 80s to put her in there, she's going to start finding out exactly, over a period of time, she will find out exactly what's been going on there. And for them to pull this kind of stunt,
right, they're hiding something.
White liquor.
That good old boy. Yeah.
Well, I'm amazed that it happened, and I'd love to know what the grounds are for this impeachment, what kind of trumped-up charges they've come up with, or what insanity this impeachment's all about.
Well, they're saying that 27 people who don't live in Clinton were illegally registered to vote.
Well, she still would have received a majority. That's that voter fraud crap again. We know
I was
going to
say, right. If I don't like the outcome, purge the voting rolls.
Yeah.
Negate their vote.
Because that's democracy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, well, let's face it.
You're right.
It,
yeah, you know, that was obviously Wayne, a tongue-in-cheek statement.
Wayne, I'm glad you brought that up, and you too, Gwen, because I'll tell you what, it's becoming more and more apparent that there is little stomach for real democracy in this country among the powers that be, the establishment right now, especially the conservative establishment, has very little respect for voters, has very little respect for true democracy. They want to cheat it. They want to have it their way. They want to stay in power. They want to get power and stay in power as long as they can by any means necessary. It's really getting scary.
And, Jack, let's play it out to what we just spoke about. Should the counterpart do get in power, then they find out, oh, wait a minute, there's going to be indictments here because you've been running illegally, you've been bribing, you've been padding the books, you've been doing all this other stuff. They're going to find out what crimes and misendeavors that the whole thing has been done on.
Uh-huh.
And then they know that if they don't try to purge the votes, they're going to get arrested themselves.
Yeah, well, let's hope that happens, and let's hope it happens en masse to all these crooked guys that are just trying to usurp power for its own sake and to oppress people. That's what it's boiling down to. And let's look at this. Let's take it to the presidential race. Let's look at this goofy Scott Walker guy. The guy's a fraud. The guy's a crook. And the Koch brothers absolutely love him because he's a perfect lapdog for them. And I'm going to do a post on him pretty quick here. And I'm gonna nail him down pretty good because that guy is a massive, massive liar. And all politicians lie to a certain extent. Sometimes it's white lies. Sometimes it's more serious than that. But this guy, all he does is lie. He takes advantage of anything he can to get elected or to get his agenda passed. The guy, he has no respect for voters. He has no respect for democracy. The guy does not belong anywhere near the White House.
Well, I'm going to tell you what else, too.
I would like to, speaking of presidential candidates, next Sunday, sitting in as our guest next Sunday is someone who has run for president on the socialist ticket. Next week, we're going to have Stuart Alexander as a guest. He's not only...
All right, very good. I don't know if you can hear me applauding, but, yes. Let's talk. Yeah, I like this.
That's good, Gwen.
He's also an active socialist. And, I don't get it because I've lived months at a time in Europe and in Denmark and Norway, and so where socialism is very accepted and a part of the norm.
Well, people know the score over in Europe. Here they're so damn ignorant. They've been lied to by the right wing for so long. They equate socialism with communism, with fascism.
There you go.
They don't even know what they're talking about.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Jack. So.
I mean, isn't it insane? We've been loaded so full of bullshit. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I saw... who was it the other day on, oddly enough, it was Link TV. I was watching that a little bit. They had a something on there by Richard Wolff. He's a brilliant man, an economist,
yes.
And he was kind of telling like it is. We have been lied to about anything except the Democrats and Republicans for long, 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 way too long. And we equate wrong things with other parties. It's insane.
Isn't he from Berkeley, a professor at Berkeley in economics? Wolf.
No, not at Berkeley. I think he's out east somewhere. I think he's at MIT or something like that.
I was going to say, I know that he's an economist with a very prestigious university.
Right,
I was thinking it was California for some reason, but anyway, but that's okay.
And, his point on this show was it was great. I just, as a matter of fact, I'm going to get the video of it. His point was that we've not only been lied to, but the public is so confused right now that... it's been, I lost my train of thought there, but the gist of it was basically that we don't really know. Most people on the street really don't know what socialists are, what communists are. They don't really understand it because they've been lied to about it for so long. And that's why we get the same old Tweedledee and Tweedledum all the time.
Well, the truth is, if we're a true republic, then socialism should be just fine.
Well, let me go to a little historical background here. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's vice president for his first two
Henry
terms
Wall,
in 4 years.
Okay.
Say it again.
Henry Wallace wasn't the first one, but I think you're talking about Henry Wallace.
I'm just saying the name escapes me, but he was with him for the first 8 years, first two terms of his Roosevelt's, and the theme that Copeland wrote, Fanfare for the Common Man,
mm-hmm.
was based on a speech that he had given. That man was a out-and-out admitted socialist.
Right, yeah.
You know, so we've had a socialist as the vice president
achieved during those first two terms.
I was going to say, and this is where your Social Security came from, your welfare, safety
net. All your
net
social
stuff
safety
was all
net
based
stuff.
On.
Yep.
And, you know, so like I said, we have a history of actually having a socialist as a vice president. And
right.
the safety nets that we have for the elderly and the unemployed were based and came about at this time.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and, you know, the conservatives, Republican, Democrat, whatever party they claim to belong to, they all are of the same mind. They've been trying to whittle away at the New Deal ever since, and they've been trying to overturn these programs. They've been trying to privatize them. What a disaster. What an absolute
yep.
disaster. Some things cannot be and should not be privatized. They should be left to the government. I'm sorry,
well,
boys,
see,
but that's a fact of life.
That's the reason why Social Security came about. People have their retirement funds in the Wall Street market.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, there weren't any rules and checks and balances.
Right.
And, of course, you know, absolute power corrupted
and wiped them out.
And they destroyed it. And there went everybody's retirement plan who was now getting close to retirement age. There was no way they were going to be able to make up that difference
right.
and, you know, to be able to support themselves in their golden years.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when they said, okay, we're going to start this program here because we need a safety net for these older people because of the abuse. You pay
exactly.
into it. It's an insurance policy. It's not an
mm-hmm.
entitlement. It is something that you have invested in yourself within your own government that
right.
says, here is my money that I'm setting
mm-hmm.
aside for the, you know, for my upkeep and my supporting myself in my golden years. It's protected
and-
from the private industry's snatch and grab
greed and speculation.
And greed.
Yeah, good point. Good
exactly.
point.
That's what
you know,
that's what Social Security is.
They need to make some changes to the Social Security, and one of the big ones I would recommend that a lot of people have recommended as well is let's get rid of or let's change, raise this cap that the rich people don't have to pay after a certain amount of money they make. They don't have to after that. Every dollar after that is not liable for Social Security tax. Bullshit. Let's get rid of it all. Let's get rid of all
exactly.
those
exactly.
exemptions. Let's raise it, or let's make it non-existent.
That's
right.
true. You can't put a flower in an asshole and call it a vase, can
you? That's right.
That's right.
By the way, I want a photo of that.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, kind of a little side note here, and I want to bring up is there's a book coming out of Hillary Clinton and all her money's coming from, you know, all these different
influences. Oh, yeah, it's rumor
stuff.
Mill stuff. Yeah.
But the Republican governor of Arkansas is telling those powers to be in the Republican Party and the front runners that want to be president, he says, you know what, you should quiet down on this because as soon as people, the general population, start looking into Hillary Clinton's closet, they're going to turn around and start looking into yours, and you ain't got nothing to hide, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this pointing at Hillary Clinton and call the kettle black, you know.
Well, we're going to see all kinds of that stuff. They did it even before she was elected president, or before she
ran for president. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. So, well, like I said, these next 2 years are going to be freaking miserable.
Oh, there's going to be so much bullshit flying around. You're going to see bullshit
yeah.
with wings. It's going to be flying
yeah,
everywhere.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, you know, if you have to speak about it being terrible, it's a lot of grist. Or shows like this, and it's an opportunity for us to bring up the other voices, the voices that aren't being heard.
Yeah. Well, it's good
that
we're going to have Stuart Alexander on. I'm looking forward to that. That should be great.
Yeah, he has a show on Air Marchafeo, but there with Roseanne, but they're on hiatus through June. And I asked them last night if he was here to come on it and talk with us about the upcoming second season and just basically what's going on out there right now. And he's really great.
Yeah, well, leave it to a socialist to be on top of the issues and to want the public to know and to get active. There's no doubt about it. It's great. And, even people, to the left of the Democrats, and there are a good number of them. I'm one of them. You're one of them, Gwen. And, we've been brainwashed into thinking the Democrats are liberals. Oh, maybe many years ago, but not anymore. Very damn few of them are. And the point is,
was a liberal Democrat was when McCarthy was getting ousted.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we just had a thing on public broadcasting today talking about Lyndon Baines Johnson and the Civil Rights Bill. They said, it was Kennedy's bill. It was Kennedy's dream. He said, but Kennedy would have never gotten it because it was a predominant Republican House and Senate, I think, both.
Well, he had Democratic majorities, but the Southern Democrats wouldn't go along with it. They were pretty conservative.
Well, he
didn't want to rile them up. Now, Johnson, on the other hand, knew how to work with Congress, and he also knew he would. It was public sympathy was for the Kennedy who had been murdered, and so let's pass it, boys. Let's do it.
Well, Johnson. Go ahead, Glenn.
Johnson was, he got his task because he knew how to work with Congress, but my Uncle Frank was a congressman at that time who was a Republican congressman, and Johnson had more Republican allies than Democrat allies in Congress, first of all, and second of all, Johnson knew where the bodies were buried. He blackmailed.
There you go.
J. Edgar Hoover, only in a different way, right.
And plus two, they said, he was a tall man, and he called in the head of the Southern Coalition of the Democrats, and he towered over him. He said he would put his foot right up to your feet, in other words, encroach into your body.
And he'd lean over and breathe right in your face.
Yeah, look down at you, breathing in your face, saying, I think you're going to vote for this bill. I'm going to get your support. Isn't that right? And basically he made the guy piss his pants,
Well, he knew how to twist arms.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're intimidating. He wasn't above intimidating you.
Yeah.
Right.
He was an intimidating SOB. He intimidated too. He did it. He did it with, Texas the Plum too. He was very
did. Yep.
It's like when Bush was in the first Bush was elected into office.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy Bush.
A lot of Republicans were very nervous about him because he was known for being corrupt with politicians. They didn't give a damn about the public. Let's get that straight.
Right. Oh, they not
yeah,
right. Rat's ass. What they cared about was that Bush couldn't be trusted because he was like a tricky dicky, and it wasn't just his CIA involvement either. He did not play according to Hoyle. He just didn't follow the rules
Dad was a crook too. His dad was in the Senate and traded with Nazi Germany throughout the World War II. I mean, they're a crooked family. Let's face it.
There's a lot about politics that people really don't understand. The general public just doesn't have a clear view of. They think that the heroes we have, of course, everybody now knows about Jack Kennedy's foibles. But the people who really knew about his other side and Bobby Kennedy. Listen, Bobby Kennedy was a hero of mine. But the truth is that Bobby Kennedy could be very, absolutely notorious for switching sides of the horse whenever it was politically expedient for him to do so.
By the time he died, though, Gwen, by the time he died, I think he grew up quite a bit, and I think he was less opportunistic, and I think his heart was really in it.
Agreed. Until he lost his brother. When he lost his brother, things changed in his world.
Yes, very true. Good point.
Right.
Very true. Prior to that, he had been really ruthless, and he'd been very opportunistic. And, you know,
Oh, so was the old man. I mean, I'm sure Bobby was just emulating what he saw his old man do and grew up with.
Yeah, right.
It was after the assassination of his brother that he wanted to take him back and took a question.
Yeah, he did a lot
of soul searching
after that.
His life.
And he hated LBJ. They did not get along at all.
Oh, no.
And
he felt
so horrible. He must have really felt awful in those days. I mean, I know he did, but, you know, regardless.
The thing is, though, now you've got hangovers in political families. The Clinton hangover, the Bush hangover, the Kennedy hangover. There's a lot of hangovers out there.
Well, there isn't much Kennedy hanging over anymore. I mean, they're out there, but they're not anywhere near as powerful or as influential as they used to be. The Bushes, we can do without any more of them.
I think that that's not so true about Kennedys. You've got, you know, I happen to like Caroline Kennedy as a politician. I don't think
she's an ambassador, dear. She's not a politician right now.
Yeah, in Japan.
Not running for anything either.
The right wing, some right wing members are calling for her assassination in Japan.
How utterly insane. That shows you how crazy they are.
This is, you know, the old Klansman. I'm so sorry, my Tea Party.
Jack, diplomatic corps is international politics. It's politics on a larger scale than this country. So she has to know what she's talking about here and abroad. And she does, as far as I can see and what I've read about her, she's doing a really good job.
Right, yeah. You know, let's put it in proper perspective, though. She doesn't have to appeal to any constituents. The only person she has to do the bidding of is Barack Obama at this point. Now, she can have her little side things going on, whatever. I haven't seen them, but, and like Hillary used to do. But she's a lot cleaner and more purer than Hillary, let's put it that way.
She is not a natural-born liar.
No, right, exactly.
That's why she didn't know how to answer questions.
She was raised properly, she is a true believer in public service, genuine public service.
Yes, she is.
That's great. But really, when it boils down to it, she doesn't have to appeal to any constituency. All she has to do is appeal to the president and do his bidding right now.
I wish she would appeal to the constituency. I really do.
I wish she would, too. I wish she would run. She's brighter than her brother was.
I think she's incorruptible as far as it goes. I think she'll stand. She's not stupid. She knows when to open her mouth and when not to. I mean, come on. This lady, we're same age. She has grown up just absolutely politically savvy from the age of probably 13 years old. And all her life, I heard it here recently somewhere, I heard her say, I am a natural diplomat. I've had to be a diplomat for my family all my life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if she were to come back home, run for the Senate, win, and join Elizabeth Warren in that wing of the party? Wouldn't that be nice?
You're making me sound like Pavlov's dog now.
And Bernie Sanders, let those three, and among others, get really, really going on stuff. That'd be incredible.
I'd like to see him get a good voice, yeah.
Did you see on Thursday and Friday the war that broke out between Ford and Obama?
Between who?
I'm sorry, say that again. We're coming while we're here.
Between Warren and Obama.
Oh yeah, because she's not agreeing with the. Go ahead and explain.
She called him. She's saying he's lying. She absolutely said he's lying. He's not telling you.
And he is.
And he said, well, he disagrees, of course. He said, everything that you need to know is there. And it's like, if I hear need to know one more time from a politician in this country, they're going to need to know what's going on in the back rooms of too many places, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Obama's been a major disappointment. I mean, I thought when he first was elected, and so did you, Gwen, that, boy, we're going to see populist change now, but it's been a disaster.
Agreed. And yet, folks are out there in the streets still, and folks are still asking to be heard and standing up for what's right. And a lot of the people who are doing that, a lot of the people who are getting trashed by the Baltimore police today, mm-hmm. are people who were in those crowds saying that Obama was going to be the one. And it's unfortunate, everything that's transpired since, but now we know very clearly that this two-party system is broken and corrupt and gone, afoot.
Right.
As representing the people of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Really is.
And, you know, Hillary will be another Obama if and when she's elected. Let's hope, though. You know, every once in a great while, people mature even before they enter the office. Let's hope she has an awakening and understands that she's got to get off this corporation bullshit kick, you know, and she's got to really get with it. Let's look at FDR for a minute. FDR was a member of the privileged class that Hillary wasn't born into. She was upper middle class to begin with, but she became fabulously wealthy. And so now she's a member of that class. FDR, because of the situations at hand, and the public, he was very a keen judge of the public's taste, and his wife helped him a lot with that, too. Eleanor was probably the best
lady we ever had. Yeah, she was the mover and shaker.
Yeah, and she really pushed him a lot. And because of that, he, you know, basically they said he betrayed his class. Well, good, we need more people like that. I'm glad to see that. I'm glad he did it, and I would like to see that happen now. But let's hope that Hillary gets a little whiff of that and comes off a lot more populist than she's just playing up to them right now. But let's hope that it really sinks in and let something really, really beneficial comes out of it.
Jack, I would pose this argument to you. Both Roosevelts, who I think a great deal of both of them, Teddy and FDR, they had true compassion for people because of the lives they led and the pain they endured in their own lives. They had true compassion for people. Hillary Clinton
is a cold schemer.
She's power hungry.
She
is for the power. That's what she's in it to win it. She is power hungry. I don't see any way that she would switch horses in midstream because she'd fail. She'd fail to get the vote, and she'd fail to get into the White House.
Yeah. Well, that's why the people on the left have to really keep pushing her hard and get her away from that right-wing fascination she has. You know, she grew up campaigning for Goldwater, you know. Now, times do change, but, you know.
You're kidding.
Absolutely. She was a Goldwater girl, man.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
Yeah.
You talk about your, you know, Goldwater was one of the few that voted against the civil rights bill.
Well, he did it on principle, and I question that. And he wasn't always right, that's for sure. But on some issues he was, and that one he wasn't. But
his statement at that nomination speech was, I'm going to have to paraphrase here because I can't recall it, but he said basically extremism and keeping,
liberty.
The conservative aspect is no vice, and, you know, compromising in the name of virtue is no virtue or something like that, you know.
Right, yeah.
That famous quote, it was like, oh, dude, you are so crazy.
Yeah. Well, it was used against him, there's no doubt about it. And,
well, that's what,
but
I mean,
as time went on,
he didn't have the time of day
for the Tea Partiers today. He would not have the time of day for those kooks.
Well, that's really, but they use him as the mantle of their viewpoints. Well,
yeah, they use Reagan too, and you know,
Reagan was never near a Tea Party wing nut. No. He cut taxes to help stimulate the economy in the first year. Then for the next 7 years, he raised it each and every year because he had bills to pay.
And unfortunately, he put a large share of those taxes on the middle class.
Absolutely.
It wasn't a free ride for the middle class, that's for damn sure.
No. Businesses got the ride.
But he did raise taxes, and oh boy, now nobody pays attention to that anymore. It's a fact, though. It's a real fact.
That's because they look at him in the St. Ronnie selective vision.
Oh, that's so silly. We know it's bullshit, but you know the general public is still enamored of the guy. I'll never know why. I think he's a mediocre president at best.
Yeah. Who? Where are you talking?
Reagan.
Johnson.
Mediocre
Reagan.
At best. He knew how to wield power, but that's all he knew. I didn't like any of his politics.
I think for the majority, I don't think Reagan was much of a decision maker myself. I think
he let his cabinet run the country and run him.
Yeah, I think that's just exactly what happened. He was a neocon. He ushered that in, and that was a huge strategy within a certain select group of the Republican Party who is right now actually losing grip. They're losing grip. The neocons are losing grip to a much more fanatical crowd who don't know how to take care of the money. That's the scary part.
They don't know
it.
How to do anything.
They don't.
That's the
they
scary
know
thing.
How to take it, but they don't know how to take care of it.
And no,
that's
not at all. Yeah.
That's really frightening. This is a chess game that, you know, few people really do understand, have the time to ferret out the information on.
Yep.
Our government is probably over 80% in Washington and on the national level corrupt.
Oh, big time. They're all bought out. They're all bought out big time. It's just so ridiculous, and the amount of lobbyists has grown so much since the days of Reagan. It's just astronomically how much they've grown, astronomical. It's just, and it's so needless, for God's sakes. And the amount of money they're throwing at these politicians through lobbyists, I mean, Christ, it's gotten out of hand.
At the same time, some really monumental things are happening. SCOTUS is about to make gay marriage and gay equality a national law.
Let's see if that actually goes through. Let's see what happens. But it looks like it's heading in that direction.
Yeah.
Well, they said, from the latest polls of the population, just people across the country, it's like in the high 70% people say, look, they're people, let's quit discriminating. Matter of fact, and there's a little segment in Columbus called Bexley. And there was a florist there, and a lesbian couple walked in, and they wanted to get some flowers delivered, to an event they were having. I can't remember if it was anniversary of themselves or a wedding. And, couldn't be a wedding because Ohio does not recognize gay marriage or any other state's gay marriage right now.
Right.
There's a big thing in the state house here in Columbus to change that law.
Mm-hmm.
And the government and the governor of the state is in favor of it.
Right.
Because he himself has a gay son, I think.
He's a gentleman.
Anyway, Flores said, no, I'm not going to do you because you're against, what you're doing is against my religion. The town of Bexley, the town council, is drawing up a law saying, if you refuse your services to a gay couple simply based on the fact that they are gay, it's no different than you were refusing services to them as if they were an interracial couple or a black couple.
Right, yep.
The discrimination is discrimination.
Yeah.
And the town of Bexley, and, basically it's like, if you're going to be like that, then we don't need you in our camp.
Right, and how much has changed just in 10 or 11 years? 10 or 11 years ago, Republicans and the conservatives used it as a wedge issue. That wouldn't play in Peoria anymore.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much change there's been in that regard.
Yeah. So, and kudos too. I mean, it is an enlightenment. Like I said, I myself have a niece who is gay and is married out in Washington State with her
who cares?
Partner.
What's the difference?
Very
who cares,
lovely girls. You know, like I said, two very lovely girls, well educated. They compete in marathons. They're physically
right.
fit. They're intelligent. And like I said, I saw this little girl grow up from infancy to the woman that she was. I
right.
also saw her go through the inner turmoil, the depression.
Yeah, the struggle, yeah.
Of, right, the struggle of, you know, really figuring out who she was and why is this, you know, why me and type of thing.
Right.
But, you know, now she is who she is and comfortable with that fact. And I said, hooray.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody wants to discriminate against her and her partner, her
mm-hmm.
her wife, right, they, well, you know, now they're dealing with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't mess with me or my family. And these
right.
two are very much my family.
Yeah, good.
You know,
that's the way it should be.
That's a really, I appreciate that sentiment, Wayne. I think what we have to do, though, is make sure our family includes everybody, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, the thing is, and is, you know, it is across the family. All of my wife's family, and my wife is one of six. Her brother, the oldest brother, had these three girls. The one in the middle is the one I'm referring to. But the whole family, they come home for Christmas with us, you know, back home to the peninsula and stuff, and they are treated and with their spouses no different than any other, you know, the grandchildren and nieces and nephews.
And that's
their...
the way it should be. That's the way it should
exactly.
be.
Exactly. There
yeah.
is no issue with none of them.
That's right, and that's the way it should be, because it's utterly ridiculous to castigate those people the way that used to be done. Well, for what purpose? I mean, they're good people. They have potential. They have talent. They have, you know, everything everybody else has. Why play games like that? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take off a little bit early today, but I'm going to urge everybody to push forward and visit the Saturday afternoon post sometime this week. And I'll talk to you again next Sunday and look forward to speaking with Stuart Alexander.
Oh, we're getting ready to sign off anyways, Jack. Thank you very much. Wayne?
Yes, thank you, Gwen.
Always a pleasure, Jack.
Yeah,
always
definitely,
pleasure.
Wayne. So keep pushing forward, everybody. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you,
very
Jack.
Good.
Have a great week
yeah.
and good night.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say, Gwen, it looks like we got maybe 4 minutes left.
We got about two.
Yeah,
so
well,
Let people know where they can find you.
All right. Minds and Times, MINDS and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. That is the current blog site, and I'm also on Facebook.
There you go.
That's right.
People will actually look for you there first.
I have been concentrating my efforts on Facebook because I'm also part of the Columbus Blues community, and it's all about trying to make Columbus more of a hub for blues music. We have a lot of people who compete in blues contests, which are sent down to Nashville, Tennessee, where our national blues competition is. And we've had some of the people from Columbus who have actually won the national blues competition. So very much promoting blues type of music. So.
Okay, great. One little suggestion. Post your blog entries on your Facebook page, would you?
So I think that's a good idea, yes.
So I can share them with people. And
I will.
I want to thank everybody for listening to us this evening, and please join us next Sunday when our guest will be Stuart Alexander, the socialist candidate in 2012 for president. And that's all we've got for you tonight. This has been the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, F. Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. We are sponsored by Round37@numbers7.com. Knowledge to the social consciousness capable. Go over there and see what happens. Okay, that's it. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Gwen, and have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay.